Right. What are some of the major current threats to the doctrine of inerrancy?
Well, one of them is open theism. Open theism is a belief that God doesn't know the future for sure. If God doesn't know the future for sure, he can't make any infallible predictions. Therefore, the Bible can't be infallible because only an infallible God, Isaiah 46:10 says that God knows the end from the beginning. Now, if he doesn't know the end from the beginning, if he's not infallible in his foreknowledge, he can't make prophecies that will always come true. If they don't always come true, then there are false prophecies in the Bible. How can the Bible be the word of God when it has false prophecies in it? So that's one. The other challenge comes from mostly from New Testament critics who've gone away, gotten their PhD from some German or English university, and they think they know more than the founders of the inerrancy movement, or for that matter, the whole history of inerrancy, and they're saying the Bible is not really inerrant in everything. It's only inerrant in spiritual or theological things, but you can't necessarily trust it when it writes on history or science or some other area. And my response to them is, how many errors can an omniscient mind make? Omniscient means all-knowing, and God is omniscient. So if there's a error in the Bible, there must be an error in God. If God can't make any mistakes on geography, history, science, or whatever, then the Bible doesn't have any errors on any topic.
And when you say the Bible doesn't have any errors, you don't necessarily mean a particular translation or.
No, when we say Bible, we're referring to the original text of the Bible, because there are obviously copies that have made errors. King James Version, for example, which was not based on the earliest and best manuscripts, has errors in it. Ahaziah was 42 years old when he began to reign in one book, and he was 22 in another. If he was 42, he'd be older than his father, which is not possible. So there are errors in the copies of the Bible. Solomon had 4,000 horse stalls, and the other books said he had 40,000. That's kind of very like on your paycheck, extra zero here or there. Doesn't hurt anything. But in the Bible, it does, because God can't make any mistakes. So those mistakes are made by the copyist, not by the original, because God can't breathe out error. The Bible is perfect. And the word perfect is the same word used there in Psalm 19 for the lamb, the Passover lamb that was without spot or blemish.
Okay, so as Christians in the current context, given there are the open theists on one hand and there's the German and English scholars and textual critics, how do we defend inerrancy?
We defend it by taking the challenge up and showing that there's no basis for it, that it's based on false presupposition, it's just contradictory, it's self-defeating. There's many ways to show that it's wrong, other than simply say it's wrong or it's unbiblical. That we know, but we show that it's not only unbiblical, but it's unreasonable. It's not supported by the historical, philosophic, or scientific evidence. Take evolution, for example. It's one thing to condemn it because the Bible says God created every living thing. It's another thing to show that there's no scientific evidence for it either.
Right. And you've written a couple books on defending the authority of Scripture. What are some of those books?
Well, the first book we wrote on that topic is the first book we wrote, 1968, General Introduction to the Bible, and the abridgment of a title from God to Us. And more recently, when the inerrancy movement in 1978 started, we wrote the book or edited the book Inerrancy. And then even more recently, we just wrote a book called Defending Inerrancy.
Okay, and those would all be good resources for
Yeah, if you
listeners.
want to up to date, to get Defending Inerrancy, you want to get the historic stuff, look at the book Inerrancy. These were all published under the auspices of the International Council on biblical inerrancy, which is a coalition of more than 300 scholars from various denominations and backgrounds that got together and made strong statements on the inerrancy of the Bible.
Right. So what do you think would be at stake if we failed to take up the call, if we failed to defend inerrancy, and it were to be abandoned? What would you say is at stake?
The whole of the Christian church, because all of our doctrines are based on the doctrine of inerrancy. Everything we believe is based on the Word of God, and if the Word of God is not the inerrant Word of God, then the whole foundation can crumble. It's like building the house on a cracked foundation or living downstream from a cracked dam. You know, Toccoa Falls, Georgia, has a little Christian college there, and it was swept downstream because the Army Corps of Engineers said that there was a crack in the dam, but it was not serious. And one night it broke, and it swept the whole school downstream. 60-plus people were injured, several were killed. And if you say there are cracks in the Bible, you're living downstream from a cracked dam. It's a very dangerous thing to do.
Right. It would be terrible. Is there any concluding exhortation you would want to make to young apologists or to just apologists generally or Christians generally?
Psalm 11:3 says, "If the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do?" And the Bible is the foundation of everything else we believe. So we cannot go wrong by spending our time concentrating on the Word of God. It's the basis for all our teachings. If it's not solid, then nothing that we believe is solid. So I would encourage them, as my teacher in Bible school used to say, get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid.
Great. Well, Dr. Geisler, that's all the questions we have. Thank you so much for doing this interview and for your service in apologetics and in defending inerrancy and in the ministry. I know it's impacted a lot of people, probably more than we'll be aware of this side of eternity, but thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, and God bless you and your efforts to serve him and to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints.